Welcome to King James Seminary. This is the Life of Christ class. Today we'll be looking at Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through about verse 35. The title of today's lesson is called The Eulogy of John the Baptist. So if you turn there in your scriptures, if you need a lecture note series, there's some there at the door when you come in. Eulogy of John the Baptist, John chapter 7, and we'll be looking at verse 18 and 19 to begin with. Wait just a minute. I want to welcome all the students of Scripture, the infallible Word of God. Let's begin. Quote, "And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another?" End quote. John was shown and told of the words and miracles of Christ by his own disciples. These were irrefutable words and miracles that could not be questioned as to their validity. Those who were blind could actually now see. Those who were dead could stand before John and testify of their new life. John called two of his disciples to go and ask Christ plainly as to who he was. This was not for John's benefit. He did this so that others may hear and believe. John, from the beginning, testified of Christ. So this inquiry was not for the lack of faith on the part of John, as some modern commentators would have it. John was Christ's forerunner and was sent from God for the purpose of pointing people to Christ. His was the old cry of look and live. He had not deviated from his purpose. He, being in prison at the fortress of Machaerus, see Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, and with his life soon to draw to a close, he still was faithful to his mission. He was not on earth to draw disciples to himself. And, as an example for that, neither should we be. He was here to point others to Christ. John's disciples had witnessed the words and miracles of Christ for themselves and gave a report back to him. During the time that John was in prison, Christ had been to feasts and was drawing vast crowds. This was in stark contrast to John and his situation. Also in contrast to John were the ones that had him condemned. Herod Antipas and his lover, Herodias, lived in luxury and did as they pleased. It would seem to the world that John's just words only cost him his freedom and ultimately his life. However, John was God's man through to the end, a faithful servant who would not draw away from what was right, nor keep silent. He knew nothing of being politically correct, nor did he fear the rich and powerful. The world doesn't look kindly on whistleblowers, nor those who justly condemn sin. The church has lost much of its power because it only too often has pep talk pulpiteers today. Now, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, it wasn't a pep talk. And it is a good example of what a sermon should be. All too often the church has congregations that are only sitting in the pew for their own benefit. What can they get out of this is too often the reason for attendance. Now, that's true. We are thankful for attendance, but it should be for the correct reason. The correct reason is not selfishness. Going to church to make yourself feel better is not the correct reason to go. Go to worship. That is to show God's worth. It's the correct reason. Feeling better about yourself may be a result, but it shouldn't be the main reason to go. Also, there seems to be an increasing disrespect for God and His house today in our churches. His house is increasingly becoming used as a utility house and not a sanctuary. People increasingly dress in everyday clothing to come to the house of God. Even some modern preachers don't dress up to handle God's word anymore. Do they not know that it is sacred? The Lord's Day and the Lord's house are not to be treated as common. One should have and show respect and honor unto our Lord. We wouldn't wear a t-shirt and torn jeans to a job interview, nor to an important meeting. We must remember that we are meeting as one who comes to honor the Lord, our Lord, the King of Kings. So, be your best. Wear your best. If your best is a t-shirt, then wear your best t-shirt. If you have no shoes and socks, go barefoot. This doesn't make us hypocrites. We should dress church ready the best we can. This is not for show to others, but to show respect to God. Now, there is a difference. One must act respectable, talk respectable, look respectable, to be respectable. One doesn't respect the smelly drunk who stinks of alcohol and urine. One may only feel sorry for such a one and wonder why. So, appearance does have its place as long it is not a show of pride. Let that never be. Continuing on, let it be known that John had spent almost a year in a very dark, cold prison cell that was located in the lower levels beneath the main floor of the stone fortress, Machaerus, many miles away from Capernaum, where Jesus was. The man who pointed to the light of the world now had to dwell in darkness. He was seemingly quite forgotten by the world, except for the few faithful disciples that came. And they came when they could and visited him. One could only wonder as to how effective was his ministry being locked away from sight. He was no longer seen nor heard of. The religious crowd of the establishment, that is, the Pharisees and temple priests and the rich elite, had nothing to do with him. Now, Here we must trust the Lord for His will to work in all of our lives, even when things don't seem to be going very well, just as the Baptist. When he was unable to go out and point others to Christ, he found a way to do so, and that was through his faithful friends and disciples. We must not let the powers that be in opposition to Christ and his church have victory. Now that is a very important point. John found a way to continue, and that was through his disciples. All true Christians point to Christ. It is also up to us to have others point to Christ for us in our place. We must teach our children faithfulness in this regard also. The world would silence our testimony as it sought to silence the Baptist. Our message must be clear and obvious even to the blind and deaf. The question that John asked was not one of doubt, but he encouraged Christ to step forward and proclaim himself at this point. The, quote, one that should come, end quote, has been looked for since Adam and Eve. See Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Like unto Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. And in accordance to the scripture, see Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Look at verses 20 and 21. Quote, when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave, or granted, sight. End quote. Upon arriving before Christ, John's disciples immediately got to the question at hand. Was he the Messiah that was as of old been prophesied? Do the people need to look for someone else? That were the questions that needed clarified for the people. It was the we that John the Baptist was concerned about, not himself. John did not request that the Lord get him out of prison. I would think that would have been a temptation, since he didn't do that. Since John was chosen as the Lord's servant of the Lord's servants. And he knew that living for God meant that he must increase and that John must decrease. Doubt was not in the heart of the man who is described as, quote, para theou, end quote, of John chapter 1, verse 6. He was only looking out for those who may have had doubts. This we all must do, even if it is in a limited way, such as in John's case. Even small efforts by just a few can be world-changing. While John's disciples stood by, they witnessed the miracles that were here listed. Continuously, one after another, miraculous proof that this was indeed the one. Jesus answered by his actions. All of this was proof of who he was. verses 22 and 23. Quote, "Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." End quote. It is notable that the article "the" is missing in the Greek, so that it reads generally, quote, "Blind people are seeing, lame people are walking, lepers are being cleansed," end quote. So, while John later listened to the report of his disciples, he knew what was going on. It was confirming actions of a known fact. One must also look at the phrase, quote, "To the poor the gospel is preached," end quote. This emphasizes the fact that to be the proper recipient of the good news, one must realize the impoverishment of one's own soul. It is truly to the poor and needy that Christ came. Only those in infirmity need a physician. Let us remember that none are accounted poor, but those who are really such that lie low and are overwhelmed by a conviction of their poverty. The gospel is despised by those who feel they are self-sufficient, wealthy, or have wicked self-confidence. Now that is the exact opposite of what the world teaches us today in the schools, to have self-confidence. Also, note that with these words, the disciples of John went back to him. There were no additional words of confidence or of commendation from Christ concerning John. There were no additional words of confidence or commendation. John was to face his martyrdom in faith alone. There were no accolades bestowed upon him for a job well done. That had to wait until he crossed heaven's threshold. He would leave behind only a few disciples that knew only to look to Christ. That would be enough. Verses 24 through 28, please. Quote, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in kings' courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. End quote. After John's disciples left, Jesus pointed out to his listeners just what John the Baptist wasn't. He wasn't a reed that could be shaken by a mere wisp of wind. This indicates that Christ knew that John had not wavered in his faith. He was no weakling. John was not a man who enjoyed soft luxuries and plush places of repose. The weakling that had John locked up lived in a fine palace, not a prison. The real weakling wore the best in clothing. John the Baptist, instead, was a tough man who chose to endure hardship for his king, no matter what it was. Christ then compared John to a prophet, and then stated the fact that he was more than a prophet. It was he, John the Baptist, who was Christ's own forerunner. John the Baptist was more than a prophet. He was the actual herald of the Messiah. No other man had this privilege. The phrase, "among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist," end quote, pointed out the excellent character of the man that John was. Going on, quote, "but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he," end quote, is more often than not construed to mean that John was only an Old Testament prophet whose time had come and gone, and that the least in the new church age would be greater than he. Though this may be somewhat true, it is probably more correct to point to the fact that the church is ageless. That is to say, it is made up of true believers from the beginning of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. One, therefore, must remember that the least in God's kingdom is the greatest, which in effect would put John at the top of the list of servants of God. John never lost his position of coming from beside God. We can expect to see him there again when we finally get to heaven ourselves, along with the apostles and elect saints of God. The scene closes with a short parable given by Christ concerning the rejection of John by the Pharisees and the other religious self-righteous. Quote, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children." End quote. Wisdom is justified of all her children when they are acquitted. It is God that does the acquitting, as in John's case. John is looked upon with favor in God's eyes, as well as in the opinion of the New Testament believer. The Pharisees, however, that is, those who rejected John and inhibited his ministry for Christ, that is, they danced not at the joyful music of the gospel. In contrast shall be looked upon as condemned until the great bar of justice convenes. May we all stand strong and unfailingly point others to the light, as John once did. May the sons of wisdom be wise to do good and be not weary in well-doing. And with that, we'll close our lesson for today. Let's bow with a word of prayer, please. Gracious Father, we thank Thee now for Your word, and we thank Thee for sending Your Son to die on a cross for us, for our benefit, that we might have a new life. We pray now that You will take these words and teach us through Your Holy Spirit and give us wisdom and give us an obedient heart. We thank Thee for John the Baptist and his testimony and his strength and willpower and his determination even to the end to obey Thee and to show others the light of the world. We pray that we also might have a testimony that we also are obedient and strong, and point others always to Thee. Forgive us of failing Thee for doing this, and for looking upon ourselves first instead of Thee. And now we pray that You'll be with each one of us. Cause us, Lord, to continue and strengthen our efforts to prosper the church of God for Your kingdom's sake. We ask that You will be with each one, that You'll give each one here, each listener, wisdom and understanding, and protect each one as they do so. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. Amen.